whatever it is tempting. There have been people who gave up serving the Lord to chase the almighty dollar. Doesn't mean they're not saved, but they're giving up this crown and probably a lot of other rewards. There have been Christians I know who professed that they were called into ministry, called into missions. They decided it was just too much for them and they weren't going to do it. And why? Because they desired something else and they fell into a materialistic or worldly mindset. Then there's just been men who have fallen from ministry, and not necessarily pastor. I mean, deacons, teachers, Christians in the pew are ministers, and they fall into sin, and they make shipwreck. Or as Paul called it there in that last word, castaway. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but it does mean you lose this crown. And the second crown we'll see is a crown of rejoicing. Some call this the soul winner's crown. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning verse 19 and 20, last two verses of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. If you're there, read it with me. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. I think this is just an amazing thing. But those who God used to preach the gospel to lost people, at some point, I'll just use Brother John as an example tonight. Brother John Allball. This should be true of all of us, but we know Brother John loves souls, and he tries to win souls, and he makes his own tracts and hands them out. I don't know how many thousands of tracts, and then they're online, and how many have read them online? He doesn't know. You ask him, he doesn't know. He doesn't have any idea how many people were saved so far, but there's some of the day he's going to be surrounded by those people. Amen. You think about that now. He's going to stand up there, and that could be true of every one of us. That's why we're giving you the opportunity. You give out that gospel tract, and they read that and get saved. They're going to thank you, even if they don't get a hold of you in this life. I've run across people all the time who say that they don't remember the person who shared the gospel. They don't remember who gave them the tract. But when they get to heaven, and we're standing before the Lord, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. That's going to be amazing. And then to top it off, they'll put a little crown on John's head. Now, I hope to be right there among those who receive that crown. And I'm putting forth the effort. And that's, God knows. God knows your effort. God also knows you're living in the days of Noah. So the numbers may not be as impressive as compared to D.L. Moody or somebody like that, but you know what? It's just like there are people in the military. If a sniper picks off the right guy, he gets all these decorations, whereas another guy in war may be battling and killing dozens of people and throwing grenades and killing people and taking over a hill, and he gets commended too. No more than the sniper who took out the right guy. Now, I know, it's military, it's violence, but the Bible uses a lot of military imagery, and we're to be good, keep on the fire line. We're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Jessica?
Also, I've been told, and I've been on Jesus' trail, there's the people who pray.
Yeah, amen.
Like, I am not as smart or as well-written or as good at speaking.
I'll give you an example of what you're talking about. It's Jenny's mom. You know, Jenny's mom put out tracts.
Oh, yeah, all her life.
But, you know, the last few years of her life, she couldn't do much of that, but she did a whole lot of praying.
Amen.
And I believe, who knows, I might be here right now because of her prayers.
Amen.
Because I was really sick a few times, you know. And the Lord saw fit to let me stick around a while. And, yeah, that's the amazing thing about this, Jessica. We stand before the Lord and all this stuff we don't know. We have no idea. He's going to reveal it all. It's going to be an amazing time. Then the third crown is called a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy, you're real close already. Just turn over a few pages. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. It's right after the very famous text. Verse 7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's such a great verse. We stop there. And the next one's like three times longer, so people don't use it as a memory verse. But it's a great verse. Read it with me. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Isn't that something? Now, I want to say a couple things about that. Number one, it's not talking about the righteousness that saved you. That's not your righteousness. The righteousness which saved you is the righteousness of Christ. You had nothing to do with it. That righteousness is imputed unto you. That's why you know you're saved, because you didn't have anything to do with being saved. You don't have anything to do with staying saved. It's all about Jesus and His righteousness imputed unto you. But now you've got that righteousness imputed unto you. You're free now to serve the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the Word of God that you put in you daily. You should be hiding in your heart that you might not sin against God. And then He gives you the ability to then live a righteous life. But how is that? I want to show you. Go over to 1 John. I didn't write this down, but I want you to go over there. Look at 1 John. I think I just got the wrong number in my head. It's in verse 2. Yeah. Chapter 3, verse 2. I had it switched. Chapter 3, verse 2.
1 John 3:2.
Now I'll read verse 2. It says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now watch this next verse. Read it with me. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now put two and two together. Put verses 2 and 3 that you just read with what we just read here in 2 Timothy 4:8. You have a crown of righteousness. Righteousness. But it's unto all them that love His appearing. Why? Because if you love His appearing, it has a purifying effect according to 1 John. It purifies you. Why? If you think today may be the day that Jesus is coming for you, you're not going to be doing bad things. You're not going to be chasing sin. You're going to be aware of your position, your condition, your relationship with the Lord, and you're going to want to be caught ready. If you love the Lord and love His appearing, that is what motivates us and moves us and really empowers us to live a righteous life. And that's how we get that crown of righteousness. Isn't that something? The fourth crown is called a crown of glory. Crown of glory. Now, there have been some people who say, well, you have all these crowns, you can't wear all these crowns on your head, you know. And that's true. And so some think maybe what you have is a crown, and then you get like the emerald or the sapphire or whatever, you know, on your crown, signifying those that it's a crown.
Maybe it's like Legos.
And maybe it's, it stacks. Yeah, that would make sense. We're not told. So here's the thing. Just make sure you're there. Amen?
Yeah.
Because then you'll figure it out. You'll be there.
Yeah.
Look over at 1 Peter. If you're still in John, 1 John, it's real close. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. The crown of glory. Beginning of verse 2 says, Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Now, as a pastor, this is a crown for pastors. So this is one that not everybody has the opportunity to gain. But it says that a pastor is not by constraint. I hope that none of you feel like you're under any kind of duress or anything to be here ever. There are some churches that do that. They will hound you. They'll make you feel guilty. Not here. I don't ever want that here. I only want you to be here because you want to be here. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. You should be here not by constraint. And it says also not for filthy lucre. And it's really hilarious. Every once in a while somebody will accuse me of, being a preacher who's just trying to make money. And I'm like, I'm very bad at it. Yeah. If that's my purpose. I don't take, that's why I appreciate Donald Trump as president not taking a paycheck. Because, I don't take a paycheck. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for pastors, especially they have a larger congregation, to take a legitimate level of pay and all that. Don't get me wrong. But in my situation, that's just not how it works. And so at least I know I've got that much covered. it's not about filthy lucre. Be of a ready mind. It says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. I try to live it and hope that you see that and want to come along and live it with me. But look what it says now in verse 4. Read that with me. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now that shepherd in your Bible, is it capital S?
Yes.
It should be. If not, we got a Bible for you. You can throw that one away. We'll give you a new one. Because this should be capital S because that's Jesus. He's the chief shepherd. Pastors of local churches are small s under shepherds. And so when the chief shepherd appears, we can receive a crown of glory. And then that leads us back to where we started in James, the crown of life. But I want you to see it's referred to again over in Revelation. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2:10. I'll start reading while you turn there. For fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Now this is this verse is specifically to the Smyrna church. But from this point on, it's true of all believers. If you read this, we already saw in James. But here is a second reference. Read the rest of that verse. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So if you're faithful, which is what most Christians can't do. Most Christians are like, I'll be nice and say, a mist in the wind. Some of you know what the other version of that is. But you're like a mist in the wind. It's a sad thing. I mean, you look around you, there are empty spaces in the pews, and there's some people not here because they're working. Some might not be well. A couple of people not here because of the whole COVID thing and their job requirements and all this. At least one is pregnant. there are legitimate reasons for people not here. I just have to say that. But there are some people you haven't seen in a long time. It's because they are unstable and unfaithful. They're like this or like this, but never just a steady serving the Lord, going straight ahead. You know what I mean? Now, some people are like that in church attendance because they don't find a good church. But I'm not talking necessarily just about sitting in the pew. I mean serving the Lord. And that's wherever you are, whether or not you have a good church to go to, whatever the case may be, every day of your life should be about serving the Lord. And I say it again, your job, no matter what your job is, say, I don't work. Well, what do you do? Whatever you do, do for the glory of God, and you're being faithful. That's the key. So what earns the crown of life? It says two things. Faithful unto death. Three things, actually. Faithful unto death. enduring temptation during that time, and loving God.
Amen.
You do that, and you'll get this crown of life. Faithful unto death. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you never stumble. I'm just saying that you are faithful unto death. You stay the course. You may have your troubles. You may have to, you know, like a car going down the road, you may need AAA once in a while. You may run out of gas and have to have somebody come along and, you know, help you get some gas in the tank or that kind of thing. But you're on the course. You're not off on a different road. Mm-hmm. See? Faithful unto death. But the ideal would be to just day in, day out, serve the Lord. Amen. Enduring temptation, the trials of your faith. And especially if someone hurts you, you ask yourself one question. Was it Jesus? And if it wasn't Jesus who hurt you, don't you dare take it out on Jesus. And that's what Christians do all the time. Somebody else hurts them, and then they walk away from Jesus. I mean, how terrible is that? Imagine if we were, I hope we're friends. I've used this kind of a same example before, but let's just say Johnny back there says something really mean to Jack. And then weeks go by and I don't hear from Jack. I'm calling him, I'm texting him, hey, what's going on? Don't hear from Jack. Finally, I run into him out on the street. And I know him because he doesn't have a mask on. I say, Jack, man, thought we were friends, what happened? And he says, Johnny said something that really, really ticked me off. And I would say, and what does that have to do with me? And of course, that would make no sense at all, right? So why are people doing that to Jesus? Some Christian even hurts their feelings or is mean to them. That still has nothing to do with Jesus. He didn't do it. But I see it all the time. And that's what that's talking about. Loving God, enduring trials and temptation, faithful unto death. And afterwards, we'll see Johnny and Jack will make up. So what core characteristic will result in crowns? That one right there. If I love God, then I'm not going to be easily offended. And even if Johnny makes me mad, I'm not going to quit on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? If I love others, what am I going to do? I'm going to love sinners. I'm going to get the gospel out. If I love God, I'm going to serve Him. If I love God, I'm going to be looking for His appearing. Every one of these crowns is an outgrowth of you loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You do that, you'll cover the rest. Of course, that's what it says back in James 1:12, which the Lord hath promised to them that what?
Love Him.
That's what motivates the result, loving the Lord. The true lover of God will sacrifice all to serve and glorify Him. Look over at what Jesus said in Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We're about to wrap it up. I don't want to get fired. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. I'm going to wait till you get there. Matthew 22, verse 37. Got it there? All right. Let's start. Verse 37 through 40. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now that is a heavy statement right there. On those two, you can hang all the rest. Why? And really, the second one, you can hang on the first one. If you love God, you're going to love your neighbor. Amen?
Amen.
And if you love your God and you love your neighbor, all these other things take care of themselves, really. And then we have today, we have what in the past people didn't even have, which is every one of us own our own Bible. We can read it anytime we want. We can pray in Jesus' name anytime we want. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have local churches. At least we have a local church here. Amen. There's some people who don't. But we do. Let's take advantage of it. Love one another. Pray for one another. Help one another. So God leaves it up to you and I. You give, you get. Not salvation. Reward. When you give, that's why the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. Why? Because when you give, you actually receive way more than if you're just a taker. Too many Christians are only takers. They're never givers. And it shows. And it'll show on Judgment Day. But the givers, the people are always giving, and I don't just mean money. I don't always mean things. You give of your time. You give a time on your knees praying for them. Whatever it is. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that what?
Love him.
That includes these crowns. They're prepared for them that love him. And when your love for God is your mover. It's like some days I don't wake up, I'm out of bed. I'm walking around and I'm even talking verbally to my wife, but until I get some caffeine in me, I'm not awake. That's just I'm just being honest with you. Confession's good for the soul. That's a reality. Well, that's the way Christians, if you're living the Christian life and you're not first and foremost motivated by the love of God, then you're just going through the motions. You're not really accomplishing anything. You may think you are, but you're not. And that's what he's prepared, these things, for them that love him. This isn't about greed or self-promotion, by the way. It's not about you being the most famous Christian. I don't want my name on anything. That's why our website doesn't have my name in it. Our website doesn't have my ugly face on it. You know, the banners don't have my face. It has a logo and whatever. It's not about me, and I don't want my name on everything. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the gospel. And it's about a group effort. If y'all weren't here, it's not about Greg Miller. And it's all about the Word of God. And like any good father, God wants his children to be what? God wants you. Don't you? I don't have to ask this. Everyone with a kid, everyone who has a child in their life, wants that child to be successful. Yeah. Well, your heavenly Father feels the same way about you. And so many of his children are useless bums. They're not serving him. They're not bearing fruit. And he doesn't want it that way. But you see, they got a love problem. If they loved their heavenly Father more, they would do more. They'd bear more fruit. And anything you have done, you think about it, you'll realize you're most fruitful when you're really in love with the Lord, in a real sense of loving the Lord. That's when you'll be most fruitful. And that's why Jesus said this, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." John 15:8. It's about pleasing God, desiring his pleasure in us, and receiving his reward. I hope that's got through to you tonight. I needed to hear this.
Amen.
Sometimes I need to be reminded what my motivation ought to be. The power source. And I think that when you see a Christian burn out, that's what they've got wrong. They've lost sight of what the power should be. The motivator, what is giving them the spiritual energy, for lack of a better term. It's the love of the Lord. All right, so stand if you can, and let's sing. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee,
and keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance on thee and give thee peace. The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee.